Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. A little bit different than what we've said. Usually it's been like, oh, welcome in, another beautiful day. Yesterday said it was overcast, and it's still a little warm for this time of year. But we've had just sort of a drizzle. You know, it hasn't really rained hard, but it's been just sort of wet off and on, and looks like it could be this way through the evening and into the morning hours tomorrow. So, not the most beautiful way, but it's Friday. That makes up for that. It is Friday. Got Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew is at the controls, and a huge couple. As a matter of fact, a huge ball game here in town tonight over at Duck Sanford Stadium, as Auburn and Opelika play to move on to the state championship game in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the 7A semifinal, and the other semifinal, about a half an hour away, as Central will be hosting Thompson. And that one, by the way, is the public TV game of the week.
Okay.
So you can watch that ball game while you listen to Auburn Opelika on Wings 94.3. They're doing a special pregame. Mm-hmm. Heard Jacob talking about this. They're doing a special pregame that will start at 6 o'clock tonight. Normally, pregame, a half an hour, and would come on the air at 6:30, but they're coming on at 6 o'clock tonight. An historic matchup. Auburn beat Opelika 17-10 earlier this year. I mean, it is always a knockdown dragout. I mean, there have been great ball games, but the last time these two teams met in the playoffs at Duck Sanford Stadium, Opelika walked away with a win.
Yeah.
So Auburn, looking to take advantage of the home field tonight. It'll be really interesting to see if Casey Myers goes for the Tigers tonight, or will it be young Mr. Pate?
Yeah.
At quarterback, if that's the case, both teams could well be starting sophomore quarterbacks in a 7A semifinal game.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive to have two young men like that are, you know, possibly going to be playing in a big game on a big stage against good competition. They both have improved, Bill. Over
the season, no question.
Especially Opelika, and it's just exciting.
Well, ask Vestavia how much Auburn's improved since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, no kidding. Both of them have done a great job. The staffs have done a great job. The players. It's just great for the cities. It doesn't get any much better than this when you got Opelika and Auburn playing a chance to go to the state championship.
Yeah, no question. So, again, 6 o'clock airtime on Wings 94.3 tonight. So, and that'll be Jacob Rob Pate.
Yep.
And we were just talking to Jack Hutton. He was stopping in as well. I believe Christian may go in and hang out with him a little
That's
bit.
That's what I heard. He might be a sneak guest in the press box.
Or give him a second spotter or something.
And that
there
was pretty neat what they did last night with the basketball game.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, yeah. Auburn High and Lee Scott playing. So since those two are the voices of both, they did a combo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool. So. So big things going on. Tonight. Then tomorrow you've got another big weekend of college football. It is the weekend before rivalry week, and a lot of teams playing, homecoming type opponents.
Right.
There are a few ball games that are, you know, really, really interesting in the SEC and around the conference. But, I mean, you've got other games. For example, Alabama has Eastern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia has Charlotte.
Right.
LSU has Western Kentucky.
Yep.
Go Tops.
South Carolina, is that Coastal that South Carolina has?
Yes.
And Texas A&M has Samford.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are those matchups that you like before your last game, especially if it's a rivalry game. And in most cases, they are. I mean, obviously, A&M after Samford's got Texas. South Carolina after Coastal has Clemson. Ole Miss after – well, Ole Miss is off this weekend. LSU after Western Kentucky has Oklahoma. And Georgia after Charlotte has Georgia Tech. While, of course, Auburn and Alabama mm-hmm. play each other next week after the Tide plays Eastern Illinois, and Auburn has Mercer
and,
tomorrow.
And Vandy at Tennessee, which would be a big one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I was just saying when I'm looking at the teams that those are playing here have sort of what you would think is a breather.
Right.
This week.
Vandy and Kentucky play tomorrow, which will be interesting.
I think that's going to be a really interesting ball game.
In Nashville.
Yes, it is. But, I mean, Kentucky, it's almost as though, you know,
the win at Auburn.
Auburn woke them up, and they have been much improved.
And like we talked yesterday,
since then.
I was shocked they beat Florida like they did.
Oh, they did. Just
shocked.
Destroyed them.
Yeah.
And now Florida's got Tennessee. And as David Pascal was saying yesterday, Tennessee, Florida has won 11 straight
in Gainesville.
In Gainesville against Tennessee. So I mean, this is that one could be interesting. So we'll talk about all those games and anything that you would like sports wise. We'd love for you to join in. Man, there's more craziness out there in the coaching stuff today. Did you see some of the stuff? A couple of Penn State. Have you seen the Penn State stuff?
No.
A couple of Penn State, and I don't know if these are, you know, campus students or whatever, but a couple of Penn State posts today saying that Kalen DeBoer is very prominent in the Penn State coaching search.
You are kidding me.
I have no idea if there's any validity. I mean, there's so much stuff out there right now. But, I'll find one of them.
Wow.
And this is one of the websites that covers Penn State.
It's not just
covers
a guy
Penn State,
off the street.
Says that Kalen DeBoer is being considered. That doesn't mean he's considering them or whatever, but he's supposedly on the list. And this person went ahead and wrote, "And if that happened, then Alabama would be in on the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes."
That's true.
I mean, my goodness, Lane has got to be sitting back. Jimmy Sexton is going
ching ching.
It is just ching 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 ching. Ching, ching. It's just like
Jimmy Sexton.
The numbers are just rolling up for Lane Kiffin wherever he's going to be. And I saw where the Ole Miss AD today said. Keith Carter, the vice chancellor for intercollegiate athletics, had a statement saying, "Despite the outside noise, Coach Kiffin is focused on preparing our team for the Egg Bowl, and together we want to ensure that our players and coaches can concentrate fully on next Friday's game. This team is on the cusp of an unprecedented season, and it's imperative that they feel the support of the Ole Miss family in the week ahead." And then he closes by saying, "An announcement on Coach Kiffin's future is expected the Saturday following the game." That would be next Saturday because the Egg Bowl is Friday.
Hmm.
So, I mean, Ole Miss is expecting – sounds like they're preparing. They're ready to announce, an extension and a raise – I would say a substantial one for Lane. But in the meantime, LSU, Florida, and who knows, maybe even Alabama.
Wow.
That'd
be crazy.
You know, would have to be ready. Well, I mean, the thing is, you've got to be ready. We've talked about that wherever you are, if you're the athletics director, you had better be prepared in case something happens. I mean, it could be a shock, decision by your head coach. I mean, but what if there's a tragedy or something? I mean, you always have to have that list of It's, who would be next if you need to make, you know, if you need to make a hire?
You know, if your team's winning, you have to worry about your guy getting another job. If your team's losing, you have to worry about filling in.
Right.
So you're right. It's just you just can't wait till it happens. It's like recruiting. You got to have your eggs in the basket and know who you want, who you think you want, and you just can't wait. It's like the portal. You can't wait because it's too late.
No, you'd better be ready to move as quickly as possible. You know, as soon as the decision is announced. So I mean, we'll see. Again, I don't know if there's any validity at all to that. I'd seen a couple of things over the last couple of days, and thinking it was just sort of jokes. And then when somebody from Penn State that covers Penn State, I put that up. I went, maybe you never know. I mean, it could be that somebody put it out as just, you know, messing, wanting to mess with Alabama.
Right.
And a Penn State person saw it and went, well, hey, I guess he could be considered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't know if there's anything to it at all.
Let him lose that egg bowl and he might take off at night.
Yeah. And then one of the latest, it's you know, Arkansas is still looking, obviously.
Yeah,
for
you
a head
don't
coach.
Hear much about poor Arkansas.
There was a little Dabo Swinney buzz today.
Today,
yeah.
Wow.
They
got who? They got Georgia Tech next week. No.
Who? Who's Clemson? Clemson got South Carolina.
I'm sorry. Georgia has Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Mm. Clemson's got who's Clemson's got somebody
this weekend.
This week. That I thought was fairly interesting as well. Yeah, let me look at see if you can grab the schedule here. You just wonder. I mean, Dabo has been pretty outspoken that if Clemson isn't happy, you know, that he's sure that
they've got Furman. That's
Well, yeah, so they don't then.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dabo's, you know, pretty much let it be known that if the Clemson folks aren't happy, he can go win somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Arkansas, that might be a little tougher.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Arkansas lately.
And see, we were talking Penn State. I mean, I haven't heard a whole lot of the Penn State stuff lately. It's been pretty much LSU and Florida have dominated because of Lane Kiffin stuff.
Right, right.
And then of course, we're tracking Auburn and, you know, wondering what is, you know, is it John Sumrall? I mean, he has been the name throughout that constant, he and DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
And, you know, other names have been in and out as far as appearing to be on a uptrend or down. But, you know, we'd love your thoughts as we head into the Mercer game tomorrow with Deuce Knight getting the start for the Tigers.
Right.
Got to be. I think that's something that's got a lot of fans excited.
Yeah.
Getting an opportunity to see.
Everybody's anxious to watch.
Yeah.
See what happens.
And not just in mop-up duty or anything.
No.
And I think he's going to get an extended opportunity.
Well, I hope so. And like we talked yesterday, I hate it when they roll them every series. I just don't think it's fair to the young man, either one of them or the team. Let him go in there, see what he can do. You know, give him, you know, four or five series. And if he's doing well, leave him in there. If not, then you make a change.
Oh yeah, no question. Something I hadn't realized. You know, talking about the ball game tonight, I hadn't seen that the city of Opelika is going to have a big projector screen downtown.
Wow!
Showing the game.
Wow. That's pretty.
How about
cool
that?
With all the
so if you can't
problems.
If you couldn't get a ticket,
yeah,
you can go to downtown Opelika and watch it.
That's a great idea. Good for them.
Of course, you still want to listen to it.
Yeah.
On Wings 94.3.
Oh, yeah.
Starting with the 6 o'clock. Speaking
now,
of,
do they still have their radio broadcast?
Oh, yeah.
Is he involved with that still?
I'm not sure if he is or not.
I'll be darned.
But, yeah, I absolutely have. There will be plenty of people broadcasting the game tonight.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention, speaking of Wings, I'll let you know again, remind you again what's going on Monday. Monday, Auburn women's basketball, which improved to 6-0.
Yeah, big win.
Last night, has another game coming up on Monday afternoon, which would preempt the drive.
Right.
So what we're doing is the drive's going to move over to Wings. We're going to just, go across the hall, into the studio across the hall, and We're going to do the drive Monday on Wings 94.3. So starting at 4 o'clock, you've got the drive, and we'll lead into Tiger Talk, which is, of course, every Monday at 6 o'clock on Wings 94.3. And the Tiger Talk's going to be a combination of Tiger Talk and a lead-in into Auburn men's basketball, who is out in Las Vegas for the Players Era, and playing Oregon at 7 o'clock. So starting at 4 o'clock, we've got a long pregame show leading into Auburn basketball on Wings 94.3.
A lot going on.
Oh, yeah. So that's the plan for Monday. But we're here, of course, at ESPN 106.7, where we normally are here this afternoon. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor podcasts of the Drive. And the text number is 334-564-1840. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. You know, hopefully the weather will hold off. It's going to be, now the field is going to be wet tonight. Yeah. There's no way around that for the Auburn Opelika game. But that is that's a gorgeous field, and it should, you know, it should hold up just fine. Just wonder if there might be, you know, a slippery spot or something.
What time's kickoff, Bill?
7 o'clock.
Okay, 15% chance through.
Yeah, I didn't think there's much of a chance of more 10, rain.
And then it picks up later in the evening, you know, 71%, 1 a.m. Hopefully they're done by then, not in overtime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. While you're looking at it, what's the weather forecast for tomorrow? Since we got a 1 o'clock game against Mercer.
Okay. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, it says 13%.
All right. Is it
17%, 10%?
Go back before.
Okay.
I'm just worried about getting to the game.
Yeah, well, the highest is 11 a.m., 38%.
Okay, that's not terrible.
9 a.m., 42%. Everything else is in the 20s and lower.
All right, so that's what I thought.
There's 76 degrees.
Wow, so it's going to be plenty warm.
Little wind, not much. 10 miles an hour, 8. Yeah. From 1 to 5, it's the highest percentage is 17%.
All right, so it's most likely
going to get out of here.
AM showers.
Right.
That's what I had seen.
And that's good.
For tomorrow. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully won't have to be dealing with rain during the game tonight
or tomorrow.
So, hopefully that'll be the case. Mm-hmm. Mentioned, you know, the Auburn-Mercer game tomorrow, and we yesterday had a chance to talk with Auburn interim head coach DJ Durkin after the Tigers practice. And obviously the first question he got was about quarterback, with Ashton Daniels being held out in order to preserve a redshirt year. So I got about 4 or 5 minutes with Coach Durkin yesterday. Thought we'd let you hear what he had to say about the preparation for the Mercer Bears.
Questions for Coach. Yep. As the quarterback guys, it's been this week, and have you kind of made a decision on that?
Both those guys have played really well. They're both going to play in the game, like I said earlier. We're going to go with Deuce as the starter, and you know, I think he's earned it, done a great job. We're excited to see him go play.
What do you anticipate, kind of, the breakdown of them playing? I mean, are you going to just split halves, or is it kind of?
Yeah, we're not going to be specific about that. They're both going to play in the game, and they're both going to play well. They're both prepared. We got a good plan for both of them. They're going to play well.
Does anything change with either of them, like, from an
offensive standpoint, do you feel like they've got similar traits where you're just going to run the offense period, or are there things that each one can do that might be a little different?
It's similar. I mean, there's things that you know, they lean in more, each one of them. We want to play to their strengths always. That's our task as coaches, to put our players in the best position possible to have success. And so, you know, there's little differences and things they like better. That's constant communication between player and coach, and that'll continue from now till kickoff to make sure we're doing the right things.
DJ, I want to say too tall, came back after being a starter for 2 years, was a sixth man for a while, and now he stepped up as a starter again. What does that say about him, willing to do whatever he was asking?
Yeah, right? Isn't that pretty cool? Like, just, you know, again, in today's day and age, there's so much of the other direction that when those things happen, and it's a credit to him, credit to the type of person he is, type of player he is, and he didn't just come in and play, he played well. He did a really good job for us, and so we're dependent on him again to keep going that way, and I think he will.
Team been locked in this week in practice?
It's been a great week, right? Great 2 weeks, really. I mean, if you include the bye week, I compliment them on their focus, their intent. You know, we've given specific objectives for each day we come in there. I think it's important as a player to know, okay, when I'm going to feel, what are we working on today? What are we trying to get better at? And they've responded. They've listened. They've put it on the field. And so, yeah, I feel like it's been great preparation.
He talks about the importance of a bowl game for this team, potentially getting that yesterday, I guess, in the teleconference. Have you given any kind of verbal agreement or anything that you're going to hang around until things are settled, you know, whether it's through a bowl game or through signing day or anything like that?
We're trying to go 1-0. Our focus is to go 1-0 and go win this game on Saturday, and that's everyone's focus in the entire building.
Yeah, talk about the young guys at linebacker, obviously with DeMarcus not there now, Bryce and Elijah. What have you seen out of those guys throughout the year this year? Because they played a lot of football.
They've played a lot for us, and they've played well. I mean, they haven't just played. They've played at a high level. Those guys are incredible. And, you know, they respond to challenges. They respond to practice. They prepare right. You know, and that's not always indicative of freshmen. Sometimes you get guys that are, you know, probably talented enough maybe that they can play and help, but don't have the mindset yet, the understanding of what it takes. And those guys are unique in that they do. You know, they get it. They understand what preparation means, what it looks like. And especially at the linebacker position, it's another level. You're kind of the quarterbacks of the defense, and you got to really be in tune with what's going on around you. And they do a really good job of that.
When you were recruiting those guys, did you see them as guys that would have a chance to be this impactful this early?
That was the hope. You know, it's always a hope. You never quite know. You think you know, but you never quite know. But that certainly was the hope. Just spending time with those guys. I mean, you can watch film and know they're great players, but it was more when you spend time with them and get to know them. Like, they're kind of wired the right way. They're wired the way a great player is, a guy that's really, you know, loves football, understands that there's a whole other level of preparation outside of just playing the game. And so we definitely thought that about those guys, but they proved it to be true.
DJ, with Horatio Fields coming back, he was available at practice this week. Where are you guys at with a medical redshirt? Is he going to be able to play the rest of the year? I guess what's the status right now?
Yeah, we're still day-to-day with that. He's doing a great job fighting like crazy to get back and get, you know, squeeze every ounce of every day to get himself where he can be to play. And so we'll keep taking that day by day. You know, he's out there a little bit today. We'll talk more with the trainers afterwards, and, you know, we'll just keep treating it that way.
Do you know how many games he can play this year and maintain the medical redshirt?
Yeah, he still has the ability to play and maintain his redshirt. Yep.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Thank you.
And yeah, that was DJ Durkin. That was interesting there. Yeah. I mean, Horatio Fields has been out for a while. Boy, he had become one of the, you know, just steady guys, a leader there on the Auburn offense. And interesting that they feel like they could still get a medical, perhaps get a medical redshirt on him. I would think if you want to get a medical redshirt on him, you don't play him
right
here in the last couple of ball games.
Right, so. Probably not. Yeah, that's probably the way to handle it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was good to see that he was out there moving around and practicing. So, yeah, some interesting things. Again, I mean, what I'd love to get folks' thoughts as to, you know, the Auburn offense, Derek Nix and the Auburn offense really clicked against Vandy. How much of that was Ashton Daniels? How much is that – is the different you know, the different play caller and mm-hmm. plays being called? Mm-hmm. I just wonder what folks are expecting to see tomorrow
with 2 weeks now.
Yeah, against this Mercer team.
That's
look,
not
you
bad.
Go in. Jeremiah Cobb is 96 yards shy of 1,000.
Yeah.
I think he's got a real shot of hitting that mark tomorrow. And then with Deuce Knight, and I mean, it really, you know, it seemed like the players and everyone really pleased with the week of practice Deuce Knight has had.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that, even back in the preseason, the thought was, well, if you get into a situation where you just got to sling it, Deuce may be the guy that you want. I mean, he's fearless. He's got he can make all the throws. He may force one every now and then. Young quarterbacks will do that.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't mind, you know, putting one there and seeing if his receivers will go get it.
Yeah.
Which I thought Ashton Daniels did a good job of against Vandy. And that had been a concern with Jackson. It's like Jackson and Hugh Freeze talked about it, you know, a few times, just trusting his receivers, knowing that, that's what SEC receivers are supposed to be able to do is make a play the ball. So I just wonder what, you know, what fans are expecting or hoping to see tomorrow. I mean, I think, you know, from the few people that I've talked to about it, seem to be pretty excited, thinking this could be a fun ball game because you know Mercer's going to air it out.
Yeah,
I mean they're going to sling it. They average 350 yards a game passing, so they're going to test that Auburn secondary, which gave up, you know, 370 yards to Diego Pavia and company.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting situation tomorrow. I'm anxious to see too. I think you go into the game knowing that you've got a great athlete, a quarterback, a playmaker, a dual threat, and we got great receivers, and we got a good running game. So I think we run the ball maybe a little early to let him settle in and then just start maybe slinging it.
Well, boy, he's a good enough athlete. He can run it too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so yeah. It will be interesting. Love to hear from you. What are you looking for tomorrow? Anything on your mind sports-wise, though, we'll go ahead and get to our bottom-of-the-hour break. Just a quarter of the way in, plenty of time for you to join us here on the Friday Drive.
PN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Give us your thoughts. You want to talk about the coaching search? Really, it's there hasn't been a whole lot of buzz around the Auburn coach, you know, the Auburn perspective, except
quiet.
For, you know, people just wondering. Well, I mean, it is. We're approaching the holidays, Thanksgiving holiday, and you know, I believe that John Cohen has spoken multiple times to his list of candidates. You know, obviously, we don't know who and when they've done that, but it's probably getting down to, you know, getting details. Try to get details. You know, if you get an agreement or close to an agreement, you want to get the details. Yep. I've seen some reports, Don, that John Cohen's already got an offensive coordinator lined up for whoever the next coach is. I mean, this is a little hard to believe that you'd have an offensive coordinator. Now, this is also, I believe, under the presumption that DJ Durkin is going to be at Auburn, either as the head coach or the defensive coordinator. And if he's not the head coach, that any potential candidate coming in has been asked or let it be known that we'd like to keep DJ Durkin as defensive coordinator. And according to one report, I think it was Mike G of the War Report was saying that every potential candidate that John Cohen has talked to has agreed on their offensive and defensive coordinators. Now, would that be a little odd to you?
Yeah, I mean, very, very. That would shock me if a guy would take the job and agree on both. I can see Durkin.
I can see that where you've got somebody who is.
He's here and he's been successful.
Right.
And he can keep your team together, hopefully. But both of them, that would be a first for me.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's very unusual to keep anybody
because what Mike was saying was the coordinator is a current offensive coordinator in the ACC, so there's some familiar names on that list, and there's some I think you could eliminate, and there's some you could say, I don't know, maybe so.
Who would that be? Do you have any idea in the ACC?
Georgia Tech's offensive coordinator has been mentioned. I think it's Brent Faulkner. I mean,
yeah.
Casey Woods is at SMU with Rhett Lashley, and he was at Auburn.
Okay.
Although I think Casey's being mentioned as a possible candidate for some head coaching jobs, including if John Sumrall leaves Tulane.
True.
So I mean, it's a bunch of they're dominoes.
Yeah, and once the whoever pulls the plug, then it's gonna, like you said, be a domino effect, and some other jobs will open.
Oh yeah, I mean because when they do, I mean sooner or later you're going to go down. There are going to be some guys that haven't been head coaches that are going to get opportunities to move up
for sure.
Because some of the guys who were let go here at the top, like Coach Freeze. He's probably not going to be a head coach next year somewhere. So that means there's one less of the head coaches, and you plug and you pull somebody who is an upcoming assistant.
That's true.
But yeah, I thought that would be really unusual for someone who's going to be the head coach at an SEC school like Auburn to say okay to two of the most important spots on his staff. Again, I can see one. It does make sense when you have somebody that's on the staff. And we talked about this the other day. And somebody asked, we'd had a caller that asked about it, how important is it to have somebody as a carryover from the prior staff?
Right.
I mean, you want to have some kind of continuity. Yeah. Now, I understand coaches want, it's going to be their program, and they want their people in there.
Right.
But if
it's changed a lot too, Bill, I think, from when I was coaching because of the portal.
Yes.
You got to, I would think, want your general manager or whatever their titles are to stay if possible, if they want to stay, because the fact that these guys are close to the players, they know the roster, they know who they have a chance to lose and who's going to stay. I would think as a head coach coming in, you would want to keep – some of those guys, in that situation or in that position, so you can maintain your roster.
Well, one thing though that I've thought about, I mean, Auburn does have a general manager in Will Redmond,
right,
who should be pretty close with all the players. I mean,
exactly.
He's responsible for that sort of player management, if you will, should have a really good handle on, how the players feel about their current situation, how they're doing NIL-wise, mm-hmm. and things like that. That's a position that we never saw.
Right.
It was unheard of to think of a general manager in college football.
Yeah, we had two GAs, basically. And, high school relations guy, a Jimmy Perry-like type.
Mm-hmm.
There's –
oh man, there are dozens of folks on the staff that have multiple duties regarding to player retention or player evaluation.
Yep.
You've got to have a group that is constantly keeping up with players across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So in case anyone decides that they're going to enter the portal, if you have any connections with them or if you don't, you still want to know who you would target at the top of your list. It's almost like having a giant draft board of thousands of athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that. If you like the NFL draft, imagine it on a bigger scale because you have hundreds of schools
mm-hmm.
that have players.
And not only
some
Division
of them, I mean, from
schools.
Yeah, well, yeah, and from 18 to however years of age. And you've got to be evaluating them.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, as difficult as it is for the NFL on guys that are 21 or older, imagine you've got anybody who's finished high school, who wherever they're playing,
right,
and got to have an idea on could they help? Could they help us,
yeah,
if they go into the portal?
It's crazy, like we always say. It's a completely different situation, what goes on now, and the number of people you have that's staying on top of everything. Because we've talked a lot in here, if you're not on top of it, you're behind, and you're going to fall behind.
Yeah, if you're not on top of it, it's on top of you.
Exactly, and you're not going to recover.
No kidding. That could absolutely crush you. So, we'll see. I'd be a little surprised if it's just a completely, unconnected. If you get a head coach that comes in and there is no connection to his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, me too.
Because so. I guess I could see where, where John Cohen or any AD would maybe have a favorite somewhere. But
right.
I think it'd be tough to get the guy at the top of your list to just say, "Oh, sure, I'll put my job on the line."
Yeah.
And take somebody that I didn't pick
and don't really know, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll see if I can find that list.
Yeah,
I saw a list earlier of the ACC offensive coordinators, and we'll see if we can pull that up and look at it and see if there are any names that jump out at you.
Yeah.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's see. I saw Brian Matthews posting an update on Keyshawn Hall as the Tigers, head into the weekend and get ready to head out to Las Vegas for the Players Era tourney. That Keyshawn's still out. Auburn's not going to rush him back. They'd love to be able to have him back. At some point in Vegas, he's going to make the trip out there, but don't know if he will be available. It sounds like he's probably doubtful at best for the Oregon game, and you wonder if maybe he's able to work and be able to play on the Tuesday night game against Michigan.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he plays any time before that. And why take a chance? It's a long, long season, like we talked the other day. He sits a valuable player for us. Just get him well.
I mean, Michigan's a top 10 team.
Yeah, and they're physical.
Right. And then
big.
And then a couple of games after that, you've got Arizona. you go out to Arizona. And then a couple of games after that, you go to Purdue.
Yeah.
You go to Indianapolis. I mean,
yeah, same thing.
So, I mean, it's you want to have him. You'd love to have him for as many of those games as possible.
Yeah.
But you definitely want to have him for the entire SEC schedule.
No doubt. That's when it really, really counts. So, yeah, get him well.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. I'd love for you to join us here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
When bones get out of joint, the Orthopedic Clinic is here, providing expert care and surgery when needed, wherever it hurts. Hand, wrist,
1067, and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Friday with Bill and Coach Don Dunn. You heard, I was talking there about game day men's health. Went by, saw him today.
Yeah.
I had my weekly visit with him today. Got a little boost. So,
yeah.
I tell you what, if you want to talk to them, have some questions, I mean, you can go online. You can see their website at GameDayMensHealth.com, but you can give them a call, and they're there till 6 o'clock, 334-209-3706. All right, we got a few minutes left here in hour number one. We were talking a little while ago, and I pulled up a list of the ACC offensive coordinators. It's a pretty interesting list because there's some really familiar names on here. I'm not familiar with BC's, with Boston College's offensive coordinator, Will Lawing.
Nope.
We're way too familiar with Cal's offensive coordinator. That's Brian Harsin. So
yep.
I think you can scratch him from the list. Clemson's offensive coordinator is Garrett Riley, mm-hmm. younger brother of Lincoln Riley. And we've talked a little bit about Lincoln. I wonder, I mean, they've got a really interesting ball game
tomorrow
against Oregon.
Right.
And, you know, there's been some buzz that Lincoln may be looking to get out of USC. I mean, when he went there, that was a huge hire.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, USC's back. And it's not like he's done poorly at USC. He had an off year, but he had a really good year, and he's 8-2 right now. Mm-hmm. And man, his overall record is like 84-28 or something like that. I mean, he's got a very, very good record. I know some people say, well, he hasn't won the big ball game. He's still young. Yeah. He's still a young coach who is you talk about quarterback coach. Mm-hmm. He has had excellent quarterbacks.
Yes.
Heard a little of Doug's show earlier today, and they were talking about him, and it's like, yeah, but they've been transfers. Well, is that a negative these days? That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, they were ahead of the game. He was ahead of the game before the transfer portal was a thing.
Getting them.
They were bringing in Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts.
Right.
And, you know, who was the other Heisman winner? He had two. He's had two Heisman winners and Jalen Hurts there at Oklahoma, and got a pretty good quarterback right now at USC. But anyway, his younger brother Garrett is the Clemson offensive coordinator. It's funny, we were talking about Dabo a while ago.
Yeah.
There may be more changes there at Clemson. Duke's offensive coordinator is Jonathan Brewer, and that's a name that's familiar to me, but I can't recall where I know him from. Nowhere we know Florida State's offensive coordinator.
Yep.
That, of course, is Gus. Georgia Tech's offensive coordinator, I mentioned a little while ago, Buster Faulkner. There's been some, you know, talk about him. At Louisville, you know the Brahms.
Yeah.
Brian Brohm is the offensive coordinator there. I mentioned you. I mean, today there's more talk that, you know, if Florida doesn't get Lane Kiffin, which I don't think they're going to, that they may really focusing on Jeff Brohm.
Yeah, interesting.
If they do, then I would think Brian may be coming with him, unless Brian gets an opportunity there at Louisville.
Could be. You know, he's a famous name there in Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
Played at Louisville.
Big-time quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know about that. It would take a lot, I think, to get Jeff to leave Louisville. But Florida, SEC, stacking up the money, you might do it. And if they struggle in these next two games.
I mean, you should have an opportunity to win at Florida.
Right. And they have really been down on everything. They lost two games in overtime at home that they felt like they should have won. They would have been right in the picture for the playoffs. Now they could lose tomorrow at SMU easily. And if Kentucky upsets them,
it's a disappointing season.
Then
no question.
Yeah, and they're set. I think there's like 7-2 right now. So,
All right. North Carolina's offensive coordinator, a familiar name, Freddie Kitchens.
Oh, Freddie
is the offensive coordinator. Man, he has obviously played quarterback at Alabama.
Right.
He's coached both sides of the ball, and Drew goes, "Wasn't he with the Browns?" Yes, indeed, he was.
Sure,
and now
was.
Now he's the offensive coordinator there for Belichick at North Carolina. So you wonder. Anybody there might be looking for opportunities.
That sounds like
I wouldn't think Freddie would be the guy
that's been
hinted at. NC State's offensive coordinator is Kurt Roper.
Tennessee guy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Miami's is Shannon Dawson, and I remember him from his SEC days back at Kentucky.
Right.
Pitt's offensive coordinator is Cade Bell. Now, I don't know him.
I don't either.
SMU's Casey Woods, former Auburn staffer, is there. Let's see. Stanford's is Nate Byam. Don't know him.
Nope.
Syracuse, co-coordinators with Mike Johnson and Jeff Nixon. And then Virginia, Des Kitchings. And Wake Forest, Rob Ezell. So, I don't know. I mean, there's some names that I go, oh, yeah, I know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, and again, take that with a grain of salt. I think it's very unlikely that a a group of coaches that are being considered for a job would all go, oh yeah, I'll take this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I mean,
I don't know. That's I'm like you, Bill. I don't know about that.
I'm still. I mean, it's really going to be interesting as we head into next week through Thanksgiving and then the Iron Bowl
next week.
And want to know, will Auburn be able to name a head coach in that period
Sunday,
of time that John Cohen had talked about, that Sunday or Monday? Following, I would think that would be. You know, if you can announce it Sunday, introduce them Monday, and then even though, as we've talked with Jason Caldwell and Brian Matthews this week about it, the early signing period is not the most important thing right now, and it's that's unbelievable to say that.
I know, but
just a few years ago,
right.
To the thought that you might just punt,
you'd be panicking
your signing class. Oh yeah,
but yeah, it's
secondary
it's
right now.
It's a shame, but you're exactly right. That is not the most important thing.
The most important thing is when you've got your head coach, for him to get with the team and for you to try to keep as many of the players you want coming back.
Yeah, especially the amount of talent we have right now on our roster and the young guys. That is the most important thing, to keep those guys here.
All right, the music playing means we're halfway done here on the Friday Drive, and we're another hour closer to Auburn-Opelika 7A semifinal action tonight. And again, that'll start at 6 over on Wings 94.3. But we're back with hour number 2 of the Friday Drive. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number 2 here of the Friday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what's been a sort of a wet and just not a great looking Friday. I mean,
gloomy.
Well, it didn't really rain. It just sort of drizzled, and you know, got things a little nasty.
Yep.
Man, shouldn't be anything to dampen though the enthusiasm for tonight's football game coming up in a little less right at 2 hours.
I can't wait to listen.
I'm telling you, Auburn, Opelika.
And you said the other game's on TV, right?
Yeah, the Central Thompson game is the Alabama Public TV game of the week.
Yeah, those guys are funny, those announcers.
Oh, yeah. So you can keep an eye on that one if you're not going to be at the ball game. You can keep an eye on that one and listen in to Jacob and crew.
Are there any other local teams still in the playoffs? I can't remember. The smaller groups? Is it? Daggone it.
Polka, right?
I think so.
Yeah, we can
see if we can find
it. I'm pretty sure, because I think that was it Ferg or Jason was talking about that?
Maybe Jason.
Yeah.
I think it was Jason.
But, I mean, there's no question the marquee one tonight over at Duck Sanford Stadium, Auburn and Opelika. The Tigers won the regular season matchup in Opelika over at Bulldog Stadium 17-10. And this series has been a tremendous series. It's been a series of runs.
Yes.
Auburn has had the advantage recently, but, I mean, the series overall, very, very tight between Auburn and Opelika. And this one has probably has more on the line than it's ever had. And it's crazy. I mean, because we went a few years, remember, with Opelika at the 6A, playing 6A when Auburn moved up, when they added the 7A, the 7A class.
Yep.
So, I mean, they still played, and then the game got moved early, and you know, that felt funny.
Yeah.
Because it was always the last game, you know, just like we're talking about rivalry week in college football next week. That was your season-ending game for decades with Auburn and Opelika. But now they play early in the season, and now they're going to get the opportunity to rematch. And as you said in the first hour, Don, both of these teams have improved tremendously from when they played the first
time. Right. No doubt. credit to the players, the coaches. They've gotten better. And that's a sign of good coaching as your team improves. We got Real Town still in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
And also Lynette, which is not far.
No, no kidding.
So you got those two, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the quality of athletics in this area
it's gotten so much better.
Amazingly.
You know, the one year I was out after we were let go at Auburn, I went and worked at Auburn High. And I tell people that was one of the most enjoyable years of my coaching career. And we had a good team. We lost to Prattville on a punt return.
Remember that, to go
the finals. For the final game, and I think it was going to be played up at Legion Field, up in Tuscaloosa at Brian Denny. And that hurt me as much as any game I ever lost coaching, losing to Prattville on that crazy punt return that we let them get down
the sideline.
Oh, that was wild.
Yeah, it was. That was terrible.
That's the only game we lost. So,
yeah, Auburn has come so close.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah.
A few times, but they are still looking for that first state title. The winner here will play the winner of that Central-Thompson game in 2 weeks for the 7A state championship. Again, don't forget they're a special extended pregame tonight starting at 6 o'clock over on Wings 94.3 with Jacob Goins, Rob Pate, Jack Hudden. They will, they've got plenty of interviews, all kinds of pregame information and look at the entire playoffs for the state. And they'll do that starting at 6 o'clock on Wings 94.3, and then kick will be at 7. So that's coming up tonight. Sold out Duck Sanford Stadium. Again, the little bit of rain we've had today shouldn't affect anything. Just not making it the beautiful day you would like. But, I mean, it shouldn't really affect anything as far as the play tonight over at Duck Sanford Stadium. So that's coming up tonight. Of course, tomorrow, Auburn and Mercer, that's a 1 o'clock kickoff. So that means the Auburn Network comes on at 10 and Game Day on Wings with the aforementioned Jack Hudden and Uncle T-Bone. That'll be 8 o'clock tomorrow morning as they lead you into the Auburn Network coverage, which will get started at 10 o'clock for Auburn and Mercer. We let you hear some comments a little earlier from DJ Durkin yesterday when the Auburn interim head coach announced that Deuce Knight will get the start at quarterback. I think this is an opportunity for the coaching staff, not just the fans. I mean, the coaching staff needs to see how Deuce responds out there, with that many eyes on him. This will be the biggest crowd he's ever really played in front of for an extended period of time. He got in just for a few series earlier this year, but that's the only playing time he's had. So looking forward to seeing the youngster get his start at quarterback. It'll be interesting to see how they decide to, do the rotation. I don't know if it's going to be a rotation or substitution because DJ Durkin did say that both quarterbacks, he and Jackson Arnold, Deuce and Jackson Arnold, will play. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that. But I would think Deuce is going to get a pretty good run as the starter to get out there and see what he can do against a Mercer team that comes in pretty darn confident. They've won 9 straight ball games. They are 9-1, ranked in the top 10 in the FCS. They have one of the top offenses in all of college football, passing for over well over 3,000 yards, over right at 350 yards per game, passing for Mercer. So they have a very prolific offense. They've scored 50 or more points, I think, 4 times this year. They're averaging over 40 a game. They had a game in which they had over 800 yards in total offense. So they're going to come out and test the Auburn defense. Now, they run for 175. I would think most of the running they'll do might be draws or things like that because that Mercer has to realize they can't line up and just physically run at the Auburn defense.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bill. I think they'll throw a lot of screens, try to get the ball on the outside, draws, and throw it. Because I don't – they should not be able to line up and run the ball straight ahead at us.
But they have to take you know, something from the film that they saw against Vandy and the success Diego Pavia had throwing for 377 yards.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will try to test that Auburn secondary, which is still without Champ Anthony.
Yes, yes. They'll throw it. But like we've talked all week, if they get behind and it's getting out of hand – I think they're going to hand the ball off and try to get out of here and stay healthy as they can.
That's a
very
good
point. Have a lot to play for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're definitely a contender for a national championship.
Yeah, at their level.
Yes, absolutely.
So it'll be interesting. That first couple of series on both sides, I'm really looking forward to listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I can find it on TV somehow.
Yeah, I believe we were looking a while ago. I believe it's SEC Plus. So you've got to have the
Wife figured
the
that
ESPN
out last year,
package.
And I think we got that for that reason, that and mm-hmm. basketball. But
yeah, no. You have to have that for some basketball, especially baseball. I mean, yeah. To be able to watch. I got something a little while ago. I saw it, and we were about out of time in hour number one, got a note. You know, fall ball is done. We were talking with Jason a little bit about that, and congratulations to Auburn High product Todd Clay, the MVP of fall ball. I mean,
okay.
Of course, Jason and Brian were both talking about him. He had ridiculous numbers, hit over 470 this fall with 6 home runs.
Wow!
And
how long does fall ball last?
I think that's
3 weeks maybe.
That's I wish I knew the total at bats. It's less than 100 at bats that he had the 6 homers in. So
holy moly!
Yeah, so a great fall
they
for the
incoming
transfer.
They seem very excited about what they've seen.
Oh, this is a very very talented squad.
Yeah, big things
that
expected.
Butch Thompson has,
and he's done a great job. And you know the new state. Not
oh man, I'm
but,
telling
you,
the additions over
the
at Plainsman Park. Yeah,
and the
just
crowd
phenomenal.
Sell out. I mean, what a great time to be at Auburn. Sell out every day. Football, basketball, baseball.
Yeah, that's right.
And the women's basketball team won again, undefeated.
And you have to get on a waiting list for softball tickets too.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Yeah, so I mean,
great to be a Tiger.
Yep, it is. All right, we're just underway here in hour number two. Love to hear from you. We'll take a look at games around the country as we head on through the show here this afternoon. Not a lot of huge games, but there's some really interesting ones. I believe there are only two top 25 matchups.
Wow.
One of them in the SEC, Missouri and Oklahoma. And then the other one is a game we mentioned a little while ago, Southern mm-hmm. Cal at Oregon.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still some really interesting games. So, actually, all right, I get a note that's probably closer to 50 at-bats for Todd for those 6 home runs.
Wow.
Now, that is really ridiculous.
That's
video game stuff.
Yeah, you couldn't do that in the backyard wiffle ball.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's great, though. But, yeah, Todd,
good
man,
for
he
him.
is a big, strong youngster.
Yeah.
So good for him. And, I mean, we'll see him probably at third for Auburn this upcoming year. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dale Free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn. And we'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, anything you want to talk about. You want to talk about the coaching situation. You want to talk about tonight's big Auburn-Opelika matchup, tomorrow's Auburn-Mercer. What are you looking for in it? Any of the ball games going on? We'll take a look in a little while at the games around the country and in the SEC. But we haven't talked too much basketball. I mentioned a little while ago that Keyshawn Hall still out for Auburn with the sprained foot and ankle. They're not going to rush him back. Thought we'd let you hear some comments from Stephen Pearl as the Tigers, you know, get ready to head out to Las Vegas for the Players Era, where they'll take on Oregon in the first game on Monday. Again, a reminder, we've got an interesting situation Monday with women's basketball on tap. That means they're here on ESPN 106.7. So we will be moving the drive over to Wings 94.3, beyond our regular time, 4 to 6. And then immediately following the drive, it is Tiger Talk. And Tiger Talk will sort of be a combination Tiger Talk slash pregame for that Auburn-Oregon game there in the Players Era Tournament. But here's some Stephen Pearl as the Tigers, you know, get ready for this big road trip out to Vegas.
Starting off with Oregon, I know it's early. What stands out about them? I know they're a particularly tall team, like usual under Dana. But what else stands out about them?
Yeah, I mean, they're, I think, 13th in all of college basketball. So, you know, obviously a very tall team. You know, Nate Biddle is a, you know, 7-foot guard out there that can really stretch the floor and shoot it. You know, Kwame Evans, a kid that we recruited out of high school, you know, 6'10", power forward that can shoot it, put the ball on the floor and, you know, do some things down there, really crashes the offensive glass. You know, Sean Stewart, a guy that was at Duke and Ohio State, played against him last year, you know, incredibly high motor, you know, flies around, plays really hard. You know, a couple of really big guys off the bench and, you know, good size of the guard position. So, yeah, big lineup. So, obviously, you know, one of the biggest things that stood out to me in some of their games that, you know, they had, you know, closer games was they ultimately ended up winning because they got offensive rebounds. And that's going to be, you know, similar theme to Houston is we're going to have to really do a great job of, you know, physically boxing out, because if you allow this team to get second chance points, you know, they can obviously make you pay. They get 37% of their misses back. And, you know, if you were to look at the Rice game and probably the South Dakota State game, I would imagine that number was much higher in those games. So it's going to require physical checkouts because just getting a body on somebody is not going to be enough since they are so big and long. They're able to just kind of tip it out. And then they got some really good shooters on the perimeter that can make you pay if they do get those rebounds. So, but, you know, we can't get away from what we do just because they're so tall. You know, they have tall bigs, but they have bigs that do, you know, play on the perimeter. So I think, you know, I think we just got to, you know, just kind of do what we do defensively. But obviously once a shot goes up, you know, it's going to be a war in there, and we got to do a great job of holding our ground.
Steven, I know everybody on staff's not really a stranger to the MTE format, but just for you guys as a first-year staff, how beneficial is it to have that circumstance where you're having to have the scouts at the ready and for these teams and just kind of having this experience this early in the season for y'all?
Yeah, these are always obviously fun events, but they also are very you learn a lot about your team, and you learn a lot about your staff, really. I was at a luncheon yesterday with some of the athletic staff, and they asked the question, like, you know, what do you have to do to get prepared for these games? And it's so much more than just, like, scouting reports and watching film. You can break it down, you know, on a molecular level, and I'll do it right now. So, you know, you play a game, and we get done, and the amount of things that have to get done as a program in order to get ready for the next one. All right, so, you know, Kevin's got to go and get all the uniforms and find a place to get them all washed and ready to go, all the practice gear ready to go for the next day. So he's been, you know, flying around straight stuff done. You know, we got guys that are pretty banged up. Like, we haven't been healthy really since we all got together in June. So Clark, you know, is going to have to be doing treatments from the time we get done to the time we play Michigan the following day. All right, Coach D's going to have to assist him in those efforts of getting guys, you know, you know, individual stretching routines or getting guys, you know, in the hot, whatever we have available at the facilities to try and help those guys get their bodies right for the next day. Okay. Emily's meals are ready, you know, to obviously make sure our guys are fueled and ready to go. And then in addition, all the snacks and all the drinks and everything like that, the managers have got a meal ready and set up when we get back to the hotel. You know, the court is taped down. Other things that we ask them to do every single day. The coaches have got to make sure that their scouting reports are printed out and ready to go, their film's ready to go, so we can sit down and get on to the next one as soon as we get done. Somebody's got to make sure there's coffee available. You know, it's really important, you know. But no, like, seriously, it's like, it's, you know, it, people just think you go out there and play three games. It's a damn production, you know, in these events, and it really is all hands on deck. And you really got to lean on your staff in these situations because, you know, you're only as good as the guy next to you or the girl next to you. And that's why our staff's been so successful because, you know, you can rely on everybody to do their job. So, you know, the kids kind of prefer it, I think. These are short preps and short turnarounds. So it's more about just playing by your rules, trusting what we do, and then just trying to go out there and picking the four or five things that they do really well and, you know, showing them those things and try how to stop it. So it's always lit here to kind of see, you know, where we're at. Obviously, Maui was probably the best field in Maui history, and to be able to go out there and win that was, you know, really, really cool. And a lot, you know, with 10 new guys going out to the players era, you know, to be able to have the opportunity to play Oregon and then a top 10 team in Michigan. And, you look at the names and you're like, holy crap, like they're so talented. You know, that's Kai Simpkins' kid was like one of the best gets out of the portal. And, you know, he's probably their second or third guard. Have a ton of talent. They have two guys that played professionally overseas last year. So they got a lot of really good players and a lot of good pieces. And they're a team that is just going to get a lot better as the year goes. And, you know, Shelstad back because, you know, he just does a little bit of everything for him. He's such an efficient basketball player. Great opportunities, but it's going to take, you know, the entirety of our staff, our starters, our bench, our scout team. The scout team's got to, you know, they got to learn what the other team does in a really, really quick turnaround so they can make sure that we can walk through it. And, you know, so everyone is super important in these environments, these MTs and environments, you know, to make sure that we're as prepared as we possibly can to get ready for the next one.
That's Stephen Pearl, and that's one of the more detailed answers I've ever heard. I mean, he's very detail-oriented.
Yeah, very informative, and there's so much that goes into it, Billy. You know, the average guy on the street just thinks you go out there and
get out there and play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get out. Go out on the court and play.
It's 24 hours of everything's got to be perfect or as close to perfect as possible, and there's so many people involved. The smallest guy on the staff has to do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell he's very organized, and I wouldn't want to mess up.
No kidding. he will know. Absolutely.
Yeah, he'll let you know.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. I thought we'd be to him a little quicker when we had that last question asked, but Bill, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Oh, good, guys. This question is kind of for Coach Dunn, and later I ask you, Bill, what your opinion is. But Coach Dunn, you spent a career in coaching. The thing, this doesn't have anything to do with Auburn, this first part, but why would Lane Kiffin destroy his legacy at Ole Miss, which he could have as all-time and winningest coach and surpass Johnny Vaught, with this ridiculous stuff that's going on now, but I'll give you an answer in 10 days or whatever. It's always been my thought that, and I like what Lane Kiffin does. I mean, this guy's won a lot of games at Ole Miss, and he did this year after losing his quarterback and a lot of his key players. But now he's going to LSU, he's going to, I don't know, Florida. I always thought he would probably stay at Ole Miss and cement his legacy in there. And, you know, and obviously he's not. I just don't get it. I mean, and I was just wondering, you know, Coach Dunn, you spent a career in coaching. And you may not have the answer to that.
Well, that's a great question. I think a lot of it is, or most of it is ego.
Mm-hmm. And Lane's got a lot of that.
Yeah, and money. And I hate to say that. And nowadays, you know, they always say the grass is always greener when it's usually not. And it just the way people are wired. Everybody's different. Some guys would, you know, like the old days, would stay there for 10, 15, 20 years and not worry about moving on when they had an opportunity. But I think it's mostly ego and money with him.
You know, my question, though, Bill and Don, is, you know, we've heard people say it's not all about money for Lane. And I wonder, and I have no idea, I can't comprehend imagining the difference in, say, $13 and $14 million a year when you're talking a multi-year deal. It's more money than I could ever figure out how to spend.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's money. I do agree with you about the ego thing.
Yeah.
But here, Bill, I'm still not convinced that Lane's leaving. I think he loves to be stirring things up and be the center of everybody's attention. I know it sure feels like here over the last 24 hours, LSU feels like they have the best shot of getting him, and there's some Ole Miss people that are concerned about him going to LSU. Well, those same Ole Miss people felt he was a lock to go to Florida last week. So I wonder if it's not just Lane being Lane. And look, he knows he's going to get a lot of money no matter what. Ole Miss will be able to pay him enough for him to be set up for him and future generations of Kiffins to be able to be well set. So I don't know that it's all about the money, but I agree with you. I mean, to leave now would be really tough to justify leaving when you have a team that you finally built and is on, as their vice chancellor said today, they're on the precipice of something they have never done before. This could be the greatest year in Ole Miss history. And I don't have to win a national championship for it to be the greatest year in Ole Miss history. And to leave it before it's over, I think would be a terrible look.
Yeah, but here's the biggest question to me is, when you let these kind of rumors float for too long, and it creates a lot of ill will. It's unnecessary ill will, because, you know, times are good now. You're winning.
Yeah.
But don't stumble a couple of times, because those people who were Coach Don, I'm sure you know this, and Bill probably too. They will remember. Yeah, we remember you were taking supposedly trips to Florida and LSU, so forth, so on. I'm just surprised that you know. I'm like, Bill, I guess your point too. How much money can you make, you know? But when you start stringing things out like this, and you stay, well, you better maintain a pretty good, because people remember that.
That is
right. Am I
right
or am I wrong?
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. They'll be so quick to turn and go, You know, you were flirting with other and what if it happens now? I mean, what if they beat Mississippi State next week, and then they announce on Saturday that Lane's staying, but then they lose in the first round of the playoffs? A lot of people are going to go, you know, why did we put
time,
up with all this crap and pay you this much money for?
Yeah, and you spent all your time looking at other jobs.
Or what if they lose the Egg Bowl?
Woo. Yeah. Can happen.
Don, you've been involved.
I've been involved in that. Yeah, I've been there, and that's no fun.
I just thought it would have been a good, because I'm a little older than he is, and I thought it would have been a good idea for him to just cement his legacy at Ole Miss, and say, this is where I want to be. And
well, you know what? I mean, at the other schools, he won't be the most famous or revered coach ever.
He's
going to have to do an awful lot at either of those schools, any of those schools, but at Ole Miss, he's it right now.
Exactly. Yep.
And the same thing could be said. People, I hear all this stuff about, I don't think Coach Vanderbilt's going anywhere, because that's where he played. That's where his legacy.
Right, that's where he grew up.
He can create his legacy. How much money do you need to make? He can do real well there. And Coach Dunn, you know, he can coach there for a long time.
Yeah, be there for a long time.
And, you know, and then you taught Brent Key at Georgia Tech. I told a friend of mine who was concerned about Brent Key leaving to go to Auburn. So he's not going to Auburn. He played at Georgia Tech. I don't care if it's from Alabama or not. He played at Georgia Tech. He knows that culture. Not anybody can go to Georgia Tech. That's an urban city school. Coach Dunn, you know that, the recruiting in the day. And
right.
He's not going anywhere. He's going to, I think that day of these young coaches taking off for these big places like Penn State, or they just fired a coach who won 10 games every year for like 10 years. And
well, look at Lincoln Riley. We were talking about a while ago, left Oklahoma for USC, and now it sounds like he wants to get away from that because it's not the college atmosphere, I think, that he was used to, and you sure can't expect that out there in L.A.
No, and another thing, I think of the young coaches, you come with the up-and-comers. You got Billy Napier coming out of Louisiana. You see how that turned out. Then you had Luke Fickell, who's at Wisconsin. Is it Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. Is that where it's at now?
Yeah.
They can't win anything now.
No.
And Wisconsin was always a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. So it's not the always up-and-coming coach that's going to take everybody by surprise. Sometimes, you know. But that's it. Like I said, I won't keep it any longer. I just thought it was odd.
No, it's great. A great question. And, I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see what happens. Whatever happens with Lane, there are going to be a couple of fan bases that are furious with him.
Yep.
And at the end of the day,
right,
whatever happens at Auburn, and you guys know me, I go to a lot of games, home and away. Whatever happens at Auburn, I'll trust in our selection, and I'll back them.
Yep.
I don't know whether it's going to be DJ Durkin or Tom Rawl or Joe Bag of Donuts. Whoever
right.
whoever they select, I'll back them and hope they do well. People say, well, DJ Durkin hasn't had a lot of coaching experience. It may be another Gene Chizik, or it could be another Billy Napier. It could be another Luke Fickell. And, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to hope that the AD makes the right decision and get behind whoever they hire.
That's right.
I agree.
Yes, sir.
Great points, Bill.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, have a great weekend, Bill. If we don't talk to you, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Ward.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, here on the Friday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday evening. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and we've got calls holding on the drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and Yellowhammer gets us started. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So anyway, I can't keep up with all the rules changing all the time, but to determine who plays for the conference championship, I guess we got to talk about Georgia, but how does the everything else seemed to be filtering out, like Ole Miss wins, Alabama beats us. I mean, what happens?
Well, I mean, what you do now, I mean, everybody doesn't play everybody else. So you just take the two teams with the best record in conference. Then you have tiebreakers if you wind up tied. I mean, right now Texas A&M is the only unbeaten team.
Oh, yeah.
In
right,
conference right. play. So it would be Texas A&M and Georgia playing in the SEC title game right now because Georgia beat Ole Miss. See, so Georgia and Ole Miss each have one conference loss, but since Georgia beat Ole Miss head-to-head, Georgia gets the tiebreaker there. So that's why Georgia would be in over Ole Miss.
Kind of a straight highway then, Texas A&M and Georgia.
Yeah, right now. I mean, let's see, if A&M loses to Texas, I think they're still in. Because that would be one loss, and they didn't play. They didn't play anybody else that's tied there at the top. It gets funky when you have teams that didn't play each other that are tied. Then you're going to have different numbers. One team may have played just one team that's tied with them or none, and another team may have played one or two. And it's tough when you take a team when you have one that's 1-1 and another one that's 0-0. You know, as going to tiebreakers, things like that, how do you break those ties?
Well, okay. Well, I guess And that would be played in Atlanta, as
yes.
it always is.
Yeah, well, there's been talk about moving it, but no, I mean, it's been in Atlanta for years, after the first few years were at Legion Field in Birmingham.
It ought to be, I think, rotated a little bit.
Well, there's been talk about it. You know, they've moved Media Days, but yeah. I mean, it's become a thing there in Atlanta. Atlanta right. makes it worth the conference as well.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, right now, Georgia's done with conference play.
Right.
Because they've got two non-conference games here, wrapping it up with Georgia Tech next week. So they're 7-1. A&M 7-0 with the Texas game. Ole Miss is 6-1. Could go 7-1 if they beat Mississippi State. Alabama 6-1 could go 7-1 if they beat Auburn. Those are the only teams that have a shot. But Georgia is done.
Yeah.
So there, that's where they are. All right, 334-321-1390. And Uncle Ollie is up next. What's up, Unc?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Bill. Hey, Coach Dunn.
Yes, sir.
You do great on here. You always sell yourself short on your knowledge and all, but you are the man. So think you are.
I really appreciate that. I'll pay you when I see you.
You can give me a Boston butt.
There you go. I can do that.
Hey, listen, this Lane Kiffin thing, you know, first of all, I was totally against him when Auburn was looking for a coach and everybody was on him.
Uh-huh.
And here's why. Exactly what's going on now. I said, here, I don't want to be held hostage mm-hmm. every year mm-hmm. by Jimmy Sexton, and he's going to go wherever, and then we ante up. We did that with Gus Malzahn. I did not want to do it again. And my mama told me a long time ago, if they'll do it for you, they'll do it to you.
Yep. That's good advice. So
that's true.
She told me that a long time ago.
Very true.
And that is Lane Kiffin. If he'll do it for you, he's going to do it to you. And I didn't want anything to do with him. And, you know, and the other thing y'all were just talking about, listen, he's not burning any bridges at Ole Miss. The only, if he comes back, it's like that hot girl that you really know, you outkicked your coverage, and she flirts around, but she ends up with you. You're still glad to have her.
Ole Miss fans will celebrate, I mean,
exactly.
wildly if he stays there. And again, I still think he's going to.
I do, too. I absolutely think it. I'm right with you. Because I think he just enjoys this attention, and he's just craving it. And here's the other thing. Is this the only man? Maybe not. When does a man let his ex-wife control his future, unless it's court ordered?
That's a good question.
Who knows?
I mean, I hear all this Layla and whatever. Yep. They wouldn't visit here, there. I'm like, that's your ex-wife.
Well, they're supposedly back together now, but so maybe she's not just an ex.
Okay. Well, I mean, it just is weird to me. I mean, it's just weird to me that his ex-wife is going to control his future. And understand, you know, unless a judge has said at some point in time that she can do all this, it just seems strange. But my pick has been from a long time ago is John Summerall. And people say, well, what about, you know, Durkin and the roster? I think you got to look long term. You can't look short term. And I just think John Summerall, he's just a winner, man. He wins everywhere he goes. And I said this before people started saying it. To me, he reminds me of Pat Dye.
Mm-hmm.
He's
old school. He is an old school kind of coach.
He is, absolutely. And so I'm just hoping his Auburn wife will, you know, do like Layla and say, here's where we're going. Well, you guys have a great evening. It's always good to talk to you.
It's great hearing from you, Uncle Ollie. You too.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. With that, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
River City Door Company understands your time is valuable. That's why they offer that to
you. It's 7 o'clock. This game for the right to play for a state championship in 2 weeks.
Right.
Well, a week and a half, I guess.
Yeah.
A little less than 2 weeks.
Big, big game. Bragging rights on the line. It doesn't get any more exciting to me. I mean, high school football and having a chance to go to the state championship.
Of course, for the rest of the state in non-7A ball, it's the quarterfinals.
Right.
Because there are half as many teams in 7A as there are in the other six classifications. They will have an open date, but that's why when they do the Super 7, the 7A championship game is the first one. So, you know, they'll come in and play one night, and then the rest of the six classifications play three a day for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
But this is for another opportunity. Auburn's made it to the title game. They've come so close.
Yeah, had a big lead.
Whew. Yep. So they're hoping to be able to get back there. But the winner tonight moves on and plays the winner of the Central Thompson game, which is going on over in Phoenix City at the same time. So, I mean, a couple of massive matchups going on here locally tonight to determine the that'll help determine the 7A state champ.
Yep.
So, again, that'll be coming up over on Wings 94.3. And want to remind you that Monday we've got a change in the schedule. Next week's schedule is quite a bit different. I've got something that has to be taken care of on Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday we've got we'll have Don and yeah, you can be here. I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
Yeah,
because Christian Griffin and Ben Taylor are going to ably fill the seats that Dan and I are usually in. Dan's he'll be in Las Vegas next week. He's not there with the players era but Troy is there in a tournament as well.
Right.
So
that's
but
pretty neat.
But worked out great for him that he's there. So he already had his travel and accommodations taken care of,
right?
And they're able to get credentials, so he'll be able to watch.
Good for him.
Some of the players' era, as well as calling Troy women's basketball. But since Dan and I are both out Tuesday and Wednesday,
I can be here Monday and Tuesday.
Monday I'll be in Monday. Right. Brian Matthews will be in Monday, so yeah, come on in, and we're going to be over on Wings on Monday because there is women's basketball, which will air here on 106.7. And we'll be bringing you the drive over on Wings, leading into Tiger Talk, which then leads into Auburn basketball against Oregon.
Yep.
So that's Monday. Then Tuesday, Dan and I both out, so Christian and Ben are going to fill in. Wednesday, I believe, we'll just we'll call an early holiday.
Yeah, sounds good.
Because I definitely will be unable to be on the air on Wednesday. Everybody enjoy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that. And then next Friday, we're going to be out at Rally House again.
Great.
So looking forward to that on Black Friday,
yep,
Iron Bowl Eve. Yes. That's going to be that's going to be a lot of fun. Next Friday. We said we were going to look at games, around the country. I tell you what, we'll just take a look at games here in the SEC because we're getting a little short on time here on this Friday. We've talked about, quite a few games where it's matchup against FCS schools schools where you should be. There are some interesting ones. Arkansas at Texas.
Yeah.
I wonder with the disappointment now with this Texas team.
And the way they were beaten in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yes.
They were hammered.
They really were. I mean, that just went ahead and eliminated them from playoff consideration.
Right.
And that's a 5-3 Texas team now. And Bobby Petrino still looking for his first win as the interim coach at Arkansas.
He's been close like
we
talked. And that would be a huge win for Arkansas, believe me.
That one is at Austin, and Texas about a 10.5 point favorite.
ABC at 2:30.
Yep. Florida is hosting Tennessee, and we talked about this, and David Paschal mentioned it yesterday. Tennessee hasn't won at Florida in a long time. Florida's won 11 straight games in Gainesville.
Wow.
Against the Vols.
Yeah.
And you know, David said, yeah, they had long losing streaks to Alabama, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
Because nobody, you know, not many people at all went at Bryant-Denny.
Right.
But in Gainesville, I mean, as much as Florida has struggled over the last decade,
yeah,
this is actually over the last 20-plus years, over the last two decades.
Yeah.
And Tennessee still hasn't been able to come away with a win.
I did not realize that.
Tennessee's about a 4.5-point favorite in this one. But I think the Gators are going to give them everything they can ask for.
I'm anxious to see that. It's ABC at 6:30.
And we mentioned, and this is crazy because this is the afternoon prime, the afternoon 2:30 game is Kentucky at Vandy. Who would have ever thought Kentucky Vandy is your
maybe basketball.
Premium? Yeah, not football. No, you're right about that. That's like you said, oh, Duke and North Carolina play tomorrow. And I said, basketball?
Yeah.
You said, no, football.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's ESPN.
And you know, Vandy's still trying to hope that they can stay in the playoff picture.
They need some help.
But Kentucky's really playing well since they beat Auburn.
Unbelievable.
I mean, Kentucky blew out Florida and then beat Tennessee Tech.
Dead in the water.
Yes. So so that's a really interesting one. And then the other one is the one of only two ranked matchups in the nation this Saturday, and that is Missouri at Oklahoma. Oklahoma coming off that huge win in Tuscaloosa. But they have won ball games where they have been, you know, outgained tremendously. I think, was it David yesterday pointing out, they've been outgained by 300 yards in two wins.
Right, their defense, yeah.
Defense, special teams, I mean, they've
got a great kicker.
Yes, they do. They've been able to capitalize.
That's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. So, looking forward to those. And then, of course, Auburn-Mercer tomorrow. I'm excited to see Deuce Knight.
Yep. Let's go out there and take care of business and get ready to win the Iron Bowl.
Right. We'll be back on Monday with Brian Matthews to look back at the full weekend and get you ready for, you know, Thanksgiving and the Iron Bowl. But don't forget, coming up in just a couple of minutes over on Wings 94.3, it's the extended pregame for Auburn-Opelika 7A semifinal action. Don, thanks again, man. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, guys.
That's going to wrap things up for the Friday edition of The Drive. We're back with you Monday once again over on Wings 94.3. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.